Thank you for joining us for today's message. Our hope is that it fills you with hope and encouragement and draws you closer to Jesus. But don't stop there. Download our app today and stay connected throughout the week. And finally, if you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do that at morelifechurch.com/give. Now enjoy today's message.
Welcome to you. Thank you for watching on YouTube, Facebook, our app, or our website, wherever you're watching from. I am thrilled that you are joining us today. Today begins a brand new message series. Buckle your safety belts, ladies and gentlemen. Today is part one of a message series that I've entitled Avoiding Election Infection. I can think of no more appropriate subject than this. And today, I'm going to talk to you about what is Jesus' take on politics. And so this is going to be a very interesting time that we share together. I need to kind of set the tone for this message. I know there is oftentimes a lot of contention around this subject. I'm really hopeful that we can just kind of have a normal conversation, maybe like you and I would if we were having a cup of coffee. Politics is actually a very interesting subject to me. And over the last 16 years, I've done my very best to separate religion and politics from our normal conversations. I think that has to do with just wanting to protect, my own integrity in terms of not wanting you to feel any certain way based on how I feel about a subject. But I have to tell you that this is a very, very crucial time in our nation. We got to talk about this subject because Jesus talks about the subject. And so I want to make you a couple guarantees during our time together. I guarantee you I'm not going to endorse any candidate or any political party. Now, automatically, that relieves some of you. And for others of you, it offends you. It bothers you. I've been doing this quite a long time and long enough to understand this, that people are expecting me to verbalize to you how you should vote. And I just want to tell you, that's really not my role as a pastor. My assignment is to help you understand more completely what Jesus has said and what God has said in His written word. And so that's what we are going to attempt to do together. And so here we go. Each week I'm going to give you a big idea and a big question. And this week's big idea is this: we can disagree politically and still love unconditionally. We're going to talk about that. That's the subject, because this answer and this big idea really helps us see Jesus' take on politics. Here's the big question for the week. Are you willing to evaluate your politics through the filter of our faith rather than create a version of faith that supports your politics? I know. It's a challenging question. And I know that I'm up against the tremendous momentum of a lot of blending of filters in your life and even in mine. I'm going to do my very best. I said I was going to give you a couple guarantees. I'm going to guarantee that I'm not going to tell you who or how you should be voting. And the second thing I'm going to guarantee with in kind of quotations is I'm going to keep my personal opinion as it relates to politics out of the conversation. That's a half guarantee. But this question is important. Are you willing to evaluate your politics through the filter of our faith rather than create a version of faith that supports your politics? In other words, I want to say this to you, that whether it would be a Republican policy or an agenda or a Democratic policy or agenda, there are people on both sides of the political spectrum who use Scripture to make a case of what they support and why they support it. In fact, it's interesting to me that oftentimes both parties will use the exact same verses to make very different points. And so I want to dive into this a little bit and help us approach this big idea. I want to begin with this major point that I think is going to be an easy one for all of us to come to a conclusion that's the same. And that is, nothing divides like politics. Why? Because nothing divides like fear. You see ads, you see encouragements through the interwebs on how you can donate to your political party, and they go something like this: based on fear, fear drives dollars. You all understand how that works, and it's almost given this impression: if you don't give to the Republican Party, we're going to be a socialist nation. The Democrats are going to take away your guns, but if you just give $25, what's that doing? It's feeding into fear. The Democratic Party will say, if you want to stop the heartless Republicans and the injustice, just give $25. If you really want to do something really big, give $100. What is all this doing, guys? It's driving division, and it's based on fear. And so we need to understand that we cannot allow anything or anyone to divide us. It is the United States of America. And before that, God sent His Son to establish a kingdom that would last, He promised, forever, and nothing would shake its foundations. And so really what I want to have a discussion with you about is division and unity and how to achieve it. And we are divided by so many things politically. We're divided by temporary elected officials. We're divided by temporary political parties. We're divided by flawed candidates. We're divided by ever-changing policies, all building into you a consciousness and building into me a consciousness of fear, because fear is an incredible motivating force for division. We're divided by these things. And why, as followers of the eternal King, would we allow ourselves to be divided by things that are temporary? Why do we do that? I think that's a very important question for you to consider. This is a thinking series. This is a time to be thoughtful and reflective. Why? Ask yourself this. If you are a Christ follower, why are we letting temporary things sway us so much and cause us to be divided from one another? What is it exactly that is at the source of our fear? I think there's several things, but one of the main things is loss. What do you mean by that, Josh? Loss of safety, loss of security, loss of predictability, loss of control. And so this division that is present in whatever form or state, and 2 years from now it may be a completely different form. This may not even be the complete expression of it, but what is it that we fear? We fear losing something that we once had. And when that fear grabs us, then we go into a protective shell and a protective mode so that we mitigate our loss, so we stop the bleeding. We all have a view, and we all know a you. I want you to capture that little kind of phrase that should stick in your mind. We all have a view, and we all have a you. What do I mean by that? We all have political views. You have a political view. I have a political view. Next week, we're going to talk about how we've arrived at those political views and some things that will really be helpful for us to process. But I want to say this. We allow fear and division to take hold, watch, over temporary things like our view. What do I mean by that? A few years from now, you may hold a completely different political view than you hold right now. Like, I wonder if there's anyone watching who still supports the Whig Party or the Federalist Party. What I'm saying to you is, these things are temporary. They don't even exist anymore. They've turned the lights out. We have views that are surrounded by and with flawed candidates and flawed policies, and we build an altar of political worship around this view, and we forget about the you, the person sitting next to you, the family member, the friend, the coworker. And then whenever our views are bigger than the yous, we lose. We just lose. I think it's a terrible thing for family members to fuss and fight and lose relationships over political views. It's tragedy. So what do we do about all of this? What do we do with this idea that we can disagree politically, but we can also love unconditionally? And I can hear the feedback right now. Right, Josh, come on, man. That's fantasy land. There's no way. That is absolutely impossible. And I would submit to you, actually, not only is it possible, it isn't impossible. Jesus says it's imperative for the sake of the yous around you that we get this right. So how do we disagree politically? Because you and I are going to disagree politically. If we sat down and talked long enough, some of us wouldn't have to talk very long before we found something that we disagreed on. Some of us would have to talk quite at length. In fact, you probably realize this. You don't always agree with you politically. You change your mind. But this idea of love has to be a non-negotiable for us. You can disagree politically and still love unconditionally. It's not impossible. Here's how. Here was Jesus' take. His solution in the midst of division and turmoil was to pray for unity. This is one of the very last things he prays before he gives his life for us. He does this incredible thing in John chapter 17. And here's how it's set up. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son also may glorify you." Unity begins with a heart that glorifies God and elevates God our Father above any and every political ideology in view. That's why I asked, are you going to allow your faith to take the lead on your politics? Are you going to let your faith not be this potpourri, but are you going to let what God's word says stand alone to form you as a person? And if you jump down to verse 11, here's what Jesus says. "Now, I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world." So he says, okay, now I'm turning my attention from me to the disciples. And he says, "These are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father," watch this, "keep through your name those whom you have given me." For what reason, Jesus? He says, one translation says, "protect those that you've given me so that," here's why, "I want you to protect them so that they may be one as we are one." Here's what he says. He's saying, "I want, Father, for you to protect these followers, these disciples, these dear ones." And my deepest prayer, Heavenly Father, is that they may be one, that they would be one and as in sync and in rhythm and in tandem with one another, just like, Father, you and I are. So he says this, "I want my disciples to be as unified as we are." God's will for you, God's will for his church, God's will for the believer is that we be as unified as the Father is with the Son. He goes on and here's what he says. He says in verse 20, "I do not pray for these alone." Just so you kind of wrestle with, okay, well, that was good for them back then. Jesus always covers the subject and he says, I do not pray for these, not just these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So he's praying for you if you're a follower. He's praying for you if you've come to faith in Christ. And here's what he says and here's what he prays for us, that they also may be one in us. For what reason, Jesus? So that the world may believe that you sent me. Contained in the balance of our unity is people's eternity. Contained in the balance of our unity, this is a massive deal. I don't want you to feel overwhelmed or pressured in any kind of manipulative or unhealthy way, but I do want you to have a sobering awareness that it could be people aren't believing because of how we are interacting with one another about this subject or about any other subject. He says, I'm praying that they may be one. Why? That the world may believe that you sent me. Our unity matters. We can disagree politically and still love unconditionally. Look at what he says in what we call the Great Commandment. A new commandment. It means it's never existed before. Something brand new from the foundation of the world that never existed. Jesus summarizes all of the law and prophets into a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I, a qualifier, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Watch this again. By this love, by this unity, by this, all will know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. Just pause and take a breath and let this sink in for a second. He's saying the way to unity is love. And that our command from the Master is to love our brothers and sisters exactly the way he loved us. Scripture goes on and finishes John back to John 17. I went to 13 and now we're back to 17 and end this passage or end this portion. He says this, and the glory which you gave me, I have given to them. There's a transferal. He's a transferal of expectation, a transferal of responsibility, a transferal of glory. The glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. They may be made one, and that, he says it again, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. How do we disagree politically and still love unconditionally? We follow the model that Jesus gave us. Now, I want to break this down so you have some actionable steps. The thing that glued these men together and these women together is the same thing that will glue us together. One purpose, one message, one command. I want you just to say it out loud right where you are. One purpose, one message, one command. I think one thing that happens is we overcomplicate situations. And God in his infinite wisdom sees fit to really put it succinctly and simplify it. One person, one purpose, one message, one command. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. One command, love one another as I have loved you. One message, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. Such simple, straightforward instruction. If we're going to remain undivided, you have to understand something. Your candidate will win or lose based on how America votes on a Tuesday in November. But the church will win or lose based on our behavior every day between now and then. How we behave, how we interact, how we conduct ourselves in public and in church and on social media matters. Can I just say this to you? This is maybe where I'll leave my guarantee just a little bit and give you my personal opinion. I'd rather your candidate lose and the church win. Let me make it personal. I'd rather my candidate lose and the church, big C, big letter C, church win. That's a more kingdom-centered mindset. Let me just say this to you. Some of you care more about your candidate than you do the church. And I don't mean More Life Church. I just mean the idea of church. Over the last 16 years, I've lost track of the number of people who've separated themselves from churches. Not just a church, but churches over a candidate or a policy or a platform. And guess what? They don't even believe in anymore. I think that's a bad trade. And I want to help us remain united, undivided. So here's what I'm going to give you, a couple thoughts for you to act on. Number one, pray for unity. We're going to do it now together in this simple, short prayer. Heavenly Father, make us one so that we can influence many. This isn't a church growth strategy. This is about fulfilling the Great Commission and having a heart that doesn't want any to be separated from God. We're going to pray for unity. We're going to pray for unity tonight in our revival services. We're going to pray for unity in our Wednesday night prayer and revival services. This is perfectly orchestrated and timed by God for 30 days of prayer, because if there was ever a time, ladies and gentlemen, for the church to be unified and rally around a single message and person, what an amazing opportunity we have to make Jesus Lord, to make Jesus the head, to make Jesus the focal point in our lives first. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer right now, right where you are. Just say it out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, make us one so that we can influence many. This is a prayer that God will answer. It's a prayer that Jesus prayed, and it is my heart's desire that we just come together in unity. Unity is a beautiful thing because so many different people from so many different backgrounds can form together and choose unity. From amongst vast diversity, God creates unity. We're going to look at this in next week's message, in next week's idea, how God used people from all different backgrounds and political biases and cultural experiences to create a mission and a movement that's changed the entire world. If we're going to live undivided, if we're going to do it Jesus way, let's pray for unity. Do it tonight before you go to bed. Pray over your family. Pray over your kids. Pray over your spouse. Pray for unity. The next thing I would say is look for an opportunity to love unconditionally someone with whom you disagree politically. Someone says, I don't know anybody that I disagree politically. Number one, I find that hard to believe. And number two, if that's true, that's part of the problem. That we've just created echo chambers of conversations with people that agree and think just like we do. Look for an opportunity to love unconditionally someone with whom you disagree politically. Like, resist the urge and resist the temptation to tell them all the reasons why you're right on your stand and they're wrong. And make it a priority to love. We're gonna talk about this as thoroughly as possible. I know you have many questions, but I want to ask you to just do a couple things. I want to ask you to pray for unity. I want to ask you to look for an opportunity to love unconditionally. Because here's what Jesus said that I want to remind you of in Mark chapter 16, verse 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter. He's saying this to Peter, the disciple, the apostle. And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it. He is, and it won't. He's building, and nothing will prevail against it. He's building his church, and he's using us to do it. He's using you to do it. Pray for unity. Look for an opportunity to love unconditionally. The last thing I'm going to ask you to do is make sure you tune in next week for part two of avoiding election infection.
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. Now take a second and subscribe to our channel, or you can share this message with someone that you think could use it. And finally, if you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do that at morelifechurch.com/give. Now have a blessed day.